is now on. I know that there have been a lot of things to learn this weekend from God's Word. But my purpose has not been to educate you. My purpose has been to empower you. Because the Word of God is powerful. And God wants you empowered to live in fellowship with Him so that you can have the fullness of joy within your life. And we're going to continue with that this morning, but during this first sharing, I'm going to cover healing. Because it's very important. God wants us to be whole. And I know we talk about healing. The Christian church talks about healing. Thankfully, it talks about it a lot more than it used to. But yet, to understand how to receive from God, there's great principles in His Word that are going to help us with this. So why don't we get to it? I've titled this teaching, Holiness Holdbacks, with a subtitle of, It's Hard to Be Holy When You Are Wounded. If we are held back in holiness, we will also find ourselves held back from fellowship. And I'm pretty sure that nobody here has the goal of living an unholy life. Otherwise, you came to the wrong meeting. And yet, at times, we end up struggling with things that we know in our head and even our hearts are not good for us. So I want to talk about things that hold us back from living a holy life. Things that ensnare us in a life that is not a reflection of God or His Son. Now you might think that means I want to talk about sin, but I don't. I want to talk about healing, but I don't want to talk about physical healing. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, we're going to look at verse 7. This is Paul, 2 Timothy, he's writing it toward the end of his life. He knows that the end is near. Near as we can tell historically, he was probably put to death for Christ's sake in the middle 60s of the first century. And he says here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to be able to say that at the end of my life. Actually, I'd like to say it right now. Paul compared the finishing of his ministry to the completion of a race. And I want to run with that analogy. How's that? Imagine you're planning to run a 10K. Anybody ever here ever run a 10K? 5K, crawled, pub crawl? Say you've prepared to run a 10K. You get to the starting line. And then one of the judges comes up and fits you with a 45-pound backpack. A 45-pound backpack would definitely be a 10K holdback, okay? And most of our holiness holdbacks, unless we're talking about sin, which I'm not, most holiness holdbacks are not nearly that obvious as a 45-pound backpack. I said that this is about healing this morning. It is about the healing that people need to live a holy life. And the healing I am talking about is the healing of our souls. If you could take a look at Isaiah 61, please. Isaiah 61 is the verse, the section of Scripture that Jesus started His ministry with. These are the words that He read. They're recorded for us in Luke. I wanted to read the original here in the book of Isaiah 61:1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Healing broken hearts, releasing captives and prisoners. There's a difference between a prisoner and a captive. It's certainly in the first century. A prisoner was held in bondage for something that he did. Okay? Whereas a captive was held in bondage for something done to him. Usually they were the losing army in a war. And so there's a difference between a captive and a prisoner in how they got to their predicament. But it didn't make any difference to God, didn't make any difference to Jesus Christ. They can still be set free. So you may find yourself in a predicament. You may find yourself trapped, and it doesn't matter to God why you are trapped. That's not what interests Him. He's interested in, do you want to be set free? Remember that when Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, He asked him a question, do you want to be healed? Interesting question to ask a cripple waiting at a place for healing. Do you want to be healed? And this man who had been there for 38 years had all but given up at being healed. So he didn't directly answer Jesus' question. He simply explained why he hadn't been healed. And none of that interested Jesus. He went right to the heart of it and he healed him of that physical malady. Having a broken heart is most definitely a holiness holdback. A broken heart can cause us to lash out at people. A broken heart can affect our identity. It can cause you to see something different in the mirror than what God sees when He looks at you. That's what a broken heart can do. It can keep you from embracing God's will for your life because you've been defeated and you don't want to try again. Jesus Christ came to heal all of our infirmities. And sadly, for so many people, the real sickness that they have is in their souls, not their bodies. Oftentimes, the sickness in their soul is manifested in their bodies, but the real cause, the root cause, is in their souls. And it is far worse than a 45-pound backpack. There are three types of healing that you see in the scriptures. There is physical healing. The man at the pool of Bethesda was a straight-up physical healing. Then there is emotional or soul healing. And these are harder to ferret out in Scripture to see what's really going on. But if you'll remember, the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof to be in front of Jesus to be healed, do you know what was the first thing Jesus said to him? Your sins are forgiven. This man's soul had been damaged by his physical infirmity. Because in their culture, especially the way the Pharisees interpreted the law, if you were sick, you did something. Remember the man who was born blind? The disciples asked Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? They considered that physical infirmities were caused by you living in sin of some sort. That is not a biblical truth, by the way. But Jesus had to deal with it. He had to deal. Before he could deal with his physical issue, he had to deal with his emotional issue. And then he healed him. If somebody has an emotional issue and you don't deal with it, they will receive limited physical healing. I don't care how much you pray for them. Third type of healing would be deliverance from afflicting spirits. Remember the woman who was bent over for 18 years because of an afflicting evil spirit? You could have prayed against scoliosis from now till the cows come home, and it wouldn't have changed a thing because that wasn't the cause of her problem. We have to deal with the causes. And I had this come... I'm going off the side again. I saw this very dramatically 2 years ago when I was teaching in Oregon. And there was a young woman who came up. She didn't come up, well, young to me, because she was in her 40s. She came up with her teenage son who had a question about something I had taught. And so I answered his question, and I asked her, I said, well, is there anything you'd like me to pray for? And she said, yes, my shoulder has really been, you know, I really have a problem with my shoulder. It was seriously injured. I think it was about 10 years ago. I said, great, let's pray for that. So I prayed for her shoulder. And if you come forward and you ask for prayer and it's something physical, you know, and I pray for it, I'll ask, well, you know, can you move your arm better? And so I asked her, and she said, well, it's a little better. And I said, don't give me a courtesy. Is it better? Or, you know, she said, well, it is a little better. So what I did then was I did what I should have done when she first mentioned it to me. I said, tell me about this injury. And, you know, at first she hadn't wanted to. But the injury was caused by her ex-husband battering her. And, okay, that's an important piece of information, okay? Now, she had it addressed medically. And as you know, joint surgery and things, it's not 100%. I mean, they do the best they can, but it's not 100%. So I said, all right, let's pray again. And this time I prayed for her, and God showed me that she had an afflicting spirit that had attached itself to her at the time of that traumatic assault. See, because the devil doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't play fair. But the good news is that an afflicting spirit is a very simple thing to address because we have authority over evil spirits.
Amen.
So that's a pretty simple thing to address. And by the way, if you're ever praying for someone, I always suggest that you talk to them before you start praying. But if you're ever praying for someone and they have a pain and it starts to move, that's almost always an afflicting spirit. Just to be aware of that. Okay, so then I asked her how she was. And she had a lot more movement. I said, is it completely healed? She said, no. But she had a lot more movement on it. And I was very blessed. She was really blessed. I mean, she'd been living with this for a decade. But I was not satisfied that we had gotten as far as we could for her healing. But I didn't feel that to go anything further that evening. So the next morning, I wasn't teaching first in the morning, so at the break, I sought her out again. And I brought someone over with me to pray with me. And I had her current husband come over. Very gentle man. And what I did was I had her husband put his hand on her shoulder that had been injured by her ex-husband. And then we prayed again. What she really needed at that point was her soul healed. Because you think about that. Her husband should have been the one who protected her, who guarded her, who cared for her. But he was the one who inflicted pain. And that had damaged her soul. And to have her current husband and with his hands on her shoulder, and when we prayed about it, then she got complete healing. So her healing involved three different areas. There was another woman I prayed for last year. This was in New York. And she had been dealing with insomnia for like 3 years. And they knew in the fellowship that she was at that this was an issue that she had, and she'd been getting prayed for. So I prayed for her. I said, well, let's go back in the kitchen and pray. And I asked her what happened 3 years ago. Like if I had been, you know, today if a woman bent over 18 years, bent in half, my first thing to say would be, well, what happened 19 years ago? So I asked her what happened 3 years ago. She said, my father died. I said, were you with him when he died? And she goes, yes. And what had happened to this young woman was that, you know, her father was an alcoholic. And not so much an abusive drunk, but he was definitely in the throes of addiction, which often opens you up to evil spirits. It's one of the reasons God doesn't like drunkenness. God's not against drinking. He's against drunkenness. And what had happened to this woman is the spirit that was in her father attached itself to her because she had also had issues with substance abuse, which is not uncommon. It's not uncommon for the children of alcoholics to become alcoholics. It's not uncommon for the children of those who have been abused to become abusers. Now that's a little counterintuitive, isn't it? You would think like if I endured this, I am never doing that. But yet, when things can be, you know, when our souls get damaged, we don't react reasonably. Okay, now I'll go back to my notes. Okay, so here's what I've discovered over the years. Over years of frustration in praying for people and seeing only not full results. I mean, seeing results, seeing people get blessed, seeing people get healed, but not on the order that I know God desires. And what I finally discovered, and I said, when I say discovered, I guess I should say learned, because I didn't like discover it and research it out myself. I learned it by observing other people, other ministries that were having more success with healing than I was. Because, you know, I felt we had a good theology of healing. You know, we understood it. We understood God's will. But what I discovered was many times I am praying for the wrong thing. Because people, the presenting problem that people come to you with is usually not the root issue that they're dealing with or facing. You have to get at the root issue, or the results are going to be hit or miss, and they won't be complete. And like the woman who was bent over and Jesus cast out a spirit. You know, her problem was an evil spirit. Her problem wasn't, you know, a back injury. And people don't think in terms of coming forward for emotional healing. It's just not part of a lot of people's radar. I mean, so they don't think about coming because I've been suffering with depression or I have anger issues or, you know, I'm bitter. They don't think of coming forward necessarily with that. Well, they do after I teach about it, but before they don't. Whereas they wouldn't hesitate at all if they had a broken arm. They'd come right up for prayer. In the Gospels, Jesus focused on the whole person. Did they need forgiveness? That would be for their soul. Did they need deliverance from demonic oppression? Or was it a straight-up physical issue that needed to be addressed? Or was it a combination? It didn't matter to Jesus. He was open to all these reasons for the person that was in front of him. So I want to talk a little bit about trauma and how it afflicts our souls. And it keeps us from moving fully into a holy life. I want you to think of trauma as something that injures your soul. And trauma can be physical, like an accident or an assault, or it can be something emotional, like a rejection. It can even be caused by something that didn't happen to you, but that you observed. This is something that came up after 9/11, because, you know, people, they replayed this tragedy over and over and over again, and people looked at it so much. They were actually traumatized by something that didn't even happen to them. I hate labels, by the way. I believe that labels limit people. And you've probably heard of PTSD. Anybody ever heard of PTSD? Post-traumatic stress disorder is what that stands for. Calling something a disorder leaves you trapped. You're trapped. You've got a disorder. As a matter of fact, in treatment, especially in the military where they encounter this a lot, I imagine you probably can counter this in the police force, Nick. I imagine there are police officers who get diagnosed in this fashion. Calling it a disorder traps people. So there is a move within some areas of Christian counseling, and I don't know that it's reached into secular counseling, to change the name from post-traumatic stress disorder to traumatic stress injury. Mm. An injury is something you can get healed from. A disorder is something you have to learn to cope with. And Jesus did not come to give us better coping skills. Okay, that was not like the purpose. No, that would be like Jesus light. Give you better coping skills. No. So, labels take away hope. Labels take away hope. And really, modern psychiatry is only good at identifying things. They can label things. They can give a diagnosis. But bringing deliverance to real, true, deep emotional issues, you need God for that.
Amen.
Now, trauma can be sorted into, generally, I know this is, I'm being very general here, but trauma can be sorted into two different categories, okay? Bad things that happen to you or that you observe. Most people can understand that. Here's the other half of trauma. Good things that don't happen to you. Good things that should have occurred that didn't. That can also be traumatic. For example, if your father rejected you as a child, that is a bad thing that happened, right? That's a bad thing that happened to you. If you witnessed a brutal crime, that's a bad thing that happened. But if your father never showed you love, he provided for you, wasn't mean to you, but never showed you love, then there's a good thing that God designed for you to receive that you didn't get. And that can be just as traumatic. And I have been doing pastoral counseling for many, many years. And I will tell you, father issues are epidemic within our culture. And not only does it cause trauma in the individual there, but that trauma often, it flows over into how they view God. They have a difficult time conceiving of God as their father because the idea of father does not bring warm and fuzzies. See how this is a holiness holdback? It blocks you from having and even desiring a close relationship with God. You're sure God's powerful. Don't want to get too close. I mean, I like the lions are powerful at the zoo. I like them behind the bars. So, as I said, my subtitle for this teaching could be, It's Hard to Be Holy When You're Wounded. The good news is, you can be healed of emotional wounds. Trauma caused by not receiving something good that you should have received usually takes more pastoral care than trauma caused by something bad that happened. Usually, not always. And trauma, by the way, can manifest itself as disease. A lot of autoimmune disease has its roots in trauma. And so you can go praying against arthritis all day long, and you're not dealing with the root issue. And sometimes we don't deal with the root issue because we haven't really been taught to talk to people who come for prayer. You know, when you're ministering to someone, when you're praying to someone, obviously you expect God to work within you, to talk to you, to bring them the deliverance that they're seeking. But it's okay to talk to them too. They can tell you. Now, I don't take what they say as gospel, because they might not understand initially what their root cause is. So God helps us with this. If trauma has caused physical symptoms, they won't dissipate unless you deal with the trauma.
Amen.
And the same is true for attitudes and sicknesses that are caused by demonic affliction. If that's the cause of it, praying for the woman with a bent over back is not going to have much effect. I want to lead you to a simple approach to trauma recovery, trauma deliverance, that you can use for yourself and others. You know, most of us are familiar with Psalm 23, where He restoreth my soul. Yahweh restores my soul. You see, He's not talking about a day at the spa, okay? He restores my soul. Now, if you said He restores my body, we'd understand immediately what He's talking about. But He says, restores my soul. Think about that the next time you read Psalm 23. God is concerned about restoring your soul. The church is the only place where trauma can truly be healed. It can be treated elsewhere. It can be treated elsewhere. But only God can bring true healing to your soul. And the greatest healings that I have seen in this regard, in this area, is the result of forgiveness. Pursuing forgiveness. Especially if you have trauma, then you have somebody to forgive, okay? And sometimes it might be a little vague. I want to lead you through this before we make ministering available. We're going to do that as I finish this teaching this morning. But I want to talk about forgiveness because it is such a huge, huge deal. You know, if you look at the Gospels, when you look at the Gospels, the topic that Jesus talked about the most was the kingdom of God. Okay, that was the biggest topic that he covered in the Gospels. I think right after that was forgiveness. That comes up again and again and again within the Gospels. And forgiveness is greatly misunderstood by people today. Because ordinarily, people who hurt you have not apologized. And have no intention of apologizing. And might be dead. Okay? Or moved out of your life. So people feel that they're stuck. And that's because we're confusing forgiveness with reconciliation. They're two different things. And God commands us to forgive. Because that's only between you and God. You know, if Bert hurt me, I could go back to Naperville and Bert hurt me and I could forgive him from Naperville. I don't have to talk to Bert. Because that's between me and God. Unidentified caller. But, so now we can't call him back to tell him he shouldn't call you during So forgiveness is something you do between you and God. Whereas reconciliation requires the other person, doesn't it? Well, yeah. Liz might not want to be reconciled to me. So then what am I doing? Well, then I can't reconcile with her, but I can forgive her. Okay? And there's the issue. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness and reconciliation, you understand, are different. I'm talking about... I'm going to let you turn that off. Somebody really wants to get a hold of you. I know, if you silence your phone and they keep calling back, your phone will reactivate again. Did you know that? So they can chase you down. But, so we're not talking about reconciliation. God likes reconciliation. He encourages it, but I'm not talking about it this morning. I'm talking about forgiveness. And there are two words in the Greek New Testament that are correctly translated as forgive or forgiveness. And they mean two different things. And one of them means to offer grace. It's actually a cognate of the word for grace in Greek. It means to offer grace. Now, how many people are aware that grace is something you don't deserve, right?
Amen.
Okay. So when you say somebody doesn't deserve to be forgiven, okay, bingo, that's the whole purpose of grace. So I'm going to offer grace. I'm not going to offer wages to somebody. You've paid the penalty, now I'll forgive you. I'm going to offer grace to them. And the other word for forgiveness is to cancel a debt. In fact, it's even used in that context in the Greek language for strictly business dealings. And in the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Debt has been the language of hurt for millennia. Wow. We still use it today. I'm going to get even. What does that mean? It means I'm below. I'm going to get even. You owe me an apology. Okay, it's the language of debt. You know what forgiveness is? Cancel the debt. And when you cancel the debt, you stop trying to collect it. So, I know that God has someone for each of us here to forgive. And I don't want you to fill out this. No, this is for you to take home. You can do this on your own. Get more people you want to forgive.
Yeah, hopefully.
Sal sang that song about I'm listening, talk to me. God talks to us. And that sometimes people get squirrely when I tell them that God will talk to them. And they go like, well, I don't know. I can't always recognize things. Don't worry about it. When I'm talking to my 4-year-old grandson, I speak differently than when I'm talking to my 40-year-old daughter, right? I know how to speak in a way that is appropriate to whoever I'm talking to. God, you don't think he can figure that out? And when God speaks to us, many times it's just like a spontaneous thought that lights up your mind. I mean, people think, oh, I'm going to hear from God, it's going to be a booming voice. I've never heard a booming voice. In fact, I only have one time in my 52 years of Christian living where I've heard an audible voice from God. And it was a single word. It was the word yes.
Yes.
It was the word yes. A young woman was asking me a question to which Bob had figured out the answer is no. And God said, yes. Now, the person was standing right in front of me. She was about this far away. And she didn't hear anything. It was audible to me. It wasn't audible to her. That's the only time I've ever heard an audible voice. Virtually all the revelation that I have received are thoughts and impressions that God lights up in my mind. So I can guarantee you that you have received revelation. Have you ever had like a random thought to pray for somebody? Yeah, what do you think that was? Who do you think asked you to pray for somebody? You weren't thinking about what they needed. God just put somebody on your heart. That is revelation. That is a thought lighting up your mind. It's simpler than you think. So when I lead you in this, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes because we don't need any distractions. God can give you revelation with your eyes open. It's especially good if you need it while you're in the car. But when I lead people into speaking in tongues, I haven't closed their eyes. You can speak in tongues with your eyes open, but it's just easier for many people to do it with their eyes closed so there's no distractions. And I'm going to pray. And when I finish praying, God is going to drop a name. He might even drop a couple. I don't think he's going to drop 50. I don't want you to point at them, okay? He'll give you a name, and then I'm going to lead you through a prayer of forgiveness. I'm not asking you to search your memory for people who have offended you, okay? I'm not asking you to search your memory. We're just going to pray, and we're going to see what God lights up in your mind. And then we will pray together. I will pray, and then you will simply be in agreement with that prayer. You don't have to do it out loud. And then you're going to be set free. The start of your healing will be forgiveness. That will not be the end of your healing. Okay? But it will be the start. And without forgiveness, you never get out of the gates. So we start with forgiveness. And then if there's more things, God can help you with that. God can help you heal from emotional pain. Sometimes things that have happened, we're forgiving, but, you know, I still feel it. God can help with that. God can help with those feelings. And you're not a slave to your feelings. A lot of people, you know, that's just the way I feel. Feelings follow thoughts as sure as a tail follows a dog. If you change the way you think, you will change the way you feel. It's not going to be immediate, but that's how it works. You know, you think about it. You came here today, you arranged your schedule and everything, and you came here to hear God's word. Well, what if Bob and I just weren't here this morning? You showed up, no refreshments, no Bobs. And, you know, and you might be thinking like, what the heck? Drove up 45 from Mexico, I came down from Oregon. What the hell? What's wrong with these people? So your feelings toward me might not be benevolent, right? But then you discover Bob and I are walking up all dirty and muddy and stuff, and you find out that his car rolled over on, you know, as he was speeding here from Shelter Island, and we had a walk here. So all of a sudden, your feelings towards us change. Your feelings are either sympathetic or like, what a pair of boneheads. I don't know which. But in any event, your feelings toward us change. Yeah, that's my point. The are the same. We weren't here when you showed up. Facts haven't changed. Your feelings changed. Why? Because you thought about them differently. that's just a silly example. Because Bob and I were here this morning. So, you know, in forgiveness does not change the loss or the hurt. Not even God changes the past. But it heals your perspective. And it sets you free from being in bondage to your past. And in forgiveness, you are not denying the loss or the hurt. Far from it. The reason you need to forgive is because there is a hurt. Now, have you ever gone up and said you're sorry to someone and they say, that's no big deal? They might not have been. And if that's the case, sometimes people have apologized to me. It's like, well, I didn't even notice that. That's fine. But thank you. I wasn't carrying a burden of pain over that. You should never say that if there was pain, though. You should thank them. If somebody apologizes, don't say it was no big deal. But in forgiveness, you do not deny the loss or the hurt or the pain. The problem is real, but I will not allow this problem in my past to devour my soul. And that's what it does. That's what bitterness does. Bitterness is hungry, and it keeps eating away at you. It is a poison. Bitterness is the fruit of unforgiveness. Okay? So I'm going to pray. Please close your eyes if you would. You don't have to write down the name because it won't be a long list. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of the forgiveness that you have so freely given to me. I ask that you will show each of us, God, those whom we need to forgive, so that we can give to them what you have given to us. And so that we can be free of all bitterness. And I ask this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, take a moment, allow God to light up your mind and give you someone that you need to forgive. Doesn't matter if they're alive or not, present or not. I think that's enough time for God to work. So here I'm going to pray again. And as I pray, you are going to be in agreement with this prayer in your mind. Okay, so I want you to close your eyes again. Dear God, I forgive. Now you fill in that blank in your mind. For what they did, or what they failed to do, whatever it is you're forgiving them, forgive for specific things. And for the pain that it caused me. Dear God, I release the pain and the anger and the resentment that has shadowed me. I thank you, Father, for setting my soul free from the prison of bitterness. I choose not to hold these things against them any longer. And I let go of my resentment. I let go of my desire to be vindicated. And I cancel the debt that they owe me. And I ask you to heal my heart and my soul. I ask you to bless and deliver those who have sinned against me. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask Sal to come up and minister to us with another song. And then once he's done that, we're going to make healing available, be available for you to be prayed for. Anyone who would like to be prayed for. We'll have several of us up front here. So.
They sat down to eat with the master. The room filled with laughter. hearts filled with song. And the light from his face shines so bright with the love of his Father. No sickness could bother, and no pain could remain. And every sin was forgotten, every hardship behind them, when the meal began and he said, "Come dine with me, my friends, and feast forever. I bring you this bread of life. It's the Father's good pleasure. Come drink of this endless fount. The banquet is God's. Come sit and receive. It's yours and it's free. Come dine with me." How rich was the day they ran up the hill with the Savior, to live in the splendor of life with their Lord. Crowds were amazed at the power displayed when he healed all the lame walking, strong and tall, the blind eyes now see. Then every sin was forgotten, every hardship behind them. When the baskets returned full, he said, "Come down. It's the Father's good pleasure. Come drink of this endless fount. The banquet is God's. Come sit and receive. It's yours and it's free. Come dine with me. Oh, come now, don't wait. You workers, you weary out. Show you how. Come now, don't wait. You workers, you weary. Take my life and you will see that my burden is light. My yoke is easy. You'll find great rest in me. Oh, come now, don't wait. You workers, you weary. I'll show you how to walk on the sea. You will never again be hungry or thirsty. It's abundance of life I bring. Grace upon grace I bring. Strange was the day he said, "I must go back to my Father, but I'll return with another to comfort your hearts. Then breathe in this new life I bring, and we'll go on together, feasting for this love of our God." Then every sin was forgotten, and every hardship behind them, when they knew in their hearts what he said was, "Come dine. I bring you life is the Father's good pleasure. Come drink of this endless fount.
Thank you, Sal. That's a beautiful song. Daniel, can I get you to move this off for me? Oh, it rolls pretty easily. Well, now, if you would like to, we're going to take a break. There'll be an extended break because we want to make prayer and ministering available. And Susan, if you could come up here, please. And where's Barney? Oh, Barney and maybe Jeannie. Because then we have two men and two women, so you have your choice about who you might want to go to. So, I'm going to pray. And if you'd like to be prayed for, come up to one of us. And we'd be happy to stand with you to see God's deliverance. Because we have a big God. And He wants you touched and healed. So, Father, I thank You how You have prepared our hearts. How You have given us so freely of Your love, Your grace, Your power, Your strength, and Your healing. So I pray, God, for anyone here, for everyone here, that we can receive what we need this day from You. We look to You, Father, with great hope and with expectation that we will be set free from long-term prisons, and that our hearts can be light as we walk about our days. And I pray this in Christ's name, amen. So, why don't we spread out a little bit? I'll be over here.